Our health depends on love, fulfillment, self-conviction, sharing, and peace of mind. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Instant Inspiration. Our health depends on love, fulfillment, self-conviction, sharing, and peace of mind. What does it mean that our health depends on love? Does that mean that we must go around loving the world and that we'll have good health if we do? Well, that would seem to be the case for humanity, but it's not the case for divinity. If you love yourself, and you love yourself with an unconditional love, with the love of joy and peace and harmony, then you will love all of your creation. And one of your creation, believe it or not, is your physical body. Your physical body is your creation. And if you love your creation, it's going to enjoy wonderful health. Now, most of the time we think that we have to love others, or we have to love we're supposed to love something outside of ourselves. And of course, you can't do that. Because if you're not a happy person, you will not find happiness around you. If you're not a joyous person, you won't find joy. If you're not a successful person, you won't find success. Everybody else will have success, but you won't, because you don't believe that you're successful. Well, how can everyone else have success and you not having it if you're going to have that attitude? Well, because the other people are not part of your world. The successful people are not part of your world. Bill Gates is not part of your world. He could be. It could be. You could live in the awareness of infinite abundance as he's enjoying it, if you wished. But he's not really enjoying that. If you really get down to it, he has a big job of handling that wealth, of disposing of it, of being a blessing. And I'm sure he gets 100 zillion million letters a day, telephone calls and what have you, from people asking him to make donations to him. Just $5 so I can feed my family. You know, and what sort of a person would he be if, having all this money, he ignored them? Well, he doesn't do it. He turns it over to his people that he has in charge of giving out the money, and he will not concern himself with that. He cannot. If he concerned himself with all the people who were asking for money, he would not be doing what he likes to do in doing the software that he likes to create. I mean, he's an entrepreneur. He's a genius. He is a fantastic guy. And if he were to concern himself with the people who needed to be given a new house, that they were being kicked out of their house, people who were having trouble with the law for whatever reason, and he should give them help and give them financial support and get them a lawyer and things like that, what could he do? He would be spending all his time taking care of the rest of the world with his money. Now, he has people that he put in charge of working with cases like that, because he didn't want to be obnoxious. He didn't want to be non-caring of that. But he does not want to take the responsibility. He takes responsibility by giving it to his staff. But if he were to give himself all that attention, he would shortly be poor. Because if he wouldn't be poor because he gave it all away, he'd be poor because he would run away from it. People do, you know. In banks around the world are billions of dollars unclaimed by people who got tired of handling their money. You know, you say, how could that ever be? It would never bother me, you know. Oh, yeah. The Rockefellers and other people during the crisis of the 1927 Black Days, they jumped off tall buildings. They owned yachts, they owned houses, they owned everything. Their business had no more money in it because it was all stocks and bonds and that thing went down. But they had all this property. They had a great deal of wealth, but they didn't consider that wealth. They considered their investments wealth, not their property that they owned and things like that, which in turn turned out to be tremendous amounts of money. And their heirs are still doing quite nicely on all the money that those properties bought. Plus, their stocks and bonds took off again. Now, if we are to concern ourselves with all of these things, we'll be in trouble. What we concern ourselves with is the love of ourselves. We like ourselves. I like me, I like me, I like me. You say, I am fulfilled. I just feel good. Nobody could make me feel better. Nobody could give me anything or take anything away from me. I could not give something to anybody and feel more fulfilled. I just feel great. I feel fantastic. I feel that everything I have is beautiful and good and wonderful. And with this beautiful, good, wonderful self that I am, I just am inside happy. Outside, I'm happy too, but I'm inside happy. And when you're inside happy, you're untouched by the world around you. You're untouched by anything that may appear to be negative because, okay, tell me.
It's not the truth.
You don't see it. You say, you're not touched by it. You're not touched by it because you don't see it. And indeed, it's not the truth, but you don't see it. You're not even aware of it. You are only aware of your own beauty and goodness. Now, did Pollyanna think that the people that she went to visit were poor people? No. They were poor people from certain standards. They didn't have a lot of things. But she went there with a loving heart, and they were all rich people. And their life became meaningful because of the happiness she had within herself. And this is what we want to do. We want to find that our health depends on the love for ourselves, the fulfillment of ourselves, the self-conviction that we say, I am whole and perfect, even in the appearance that outwardly says that you're not. You say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And people say, you're lying, you're lying. But don't say it for people to hear. Just say it for yourself. This is for you. If you, as you accomplish success in this self-conviction, it doesn't matter whether people agree with you or not. People will disagree with you, as we said often before. They'll disagree with you totally with anything you try to do because it's harebrained and stupid. But once you succeeded at it, they say, I always believed in you. You know, I always believed in you. They always want to jump on the wagon of the band cart that's going the right direction. But you go the right direction within yourself. And you create everybody around you supportive of you, interested in what you're doing, believing in you, even when you have been false in the past, even when you have not stood up to do the things that you said you were going to do in the past, you're creating people believing in you right now. And maybe you'll fall again. And then maybe you'll fall again and again. And then maybe the time will come when you do believe in yourself and you don't fall anymore. And you stand up under more rigorous situations because, like I said to you often, when you know the truth and you don't practice it, each time you have a lesson, it's more severe than the one before. Each time you have a lesson, it is tougher than the one before. And if you take the first lesson you have, which seems tough, and stand forth with it and stand up to it and don't cringe in the slightest, you will have accomplished it and you won't have to go through all that later hell. And it is hell. It's something that you really don't want to do, but you do it. You do it because you don't have the strength to stand up for it right now. But you do have the strength to stand up for it. It's just that you don't believe you have it. It's just that you don't believe that you are as good as you are. You know? It says our health depends on sharing. What does sharing mean? Sharing in this instance means giving out, radiating out health. Now, if you are healthy, what do? You see every single person in your world healthy. So you're sharing it. You're sharing it with them. You're saying, wow, and you're finding the good and healthy things about the other person. So when you do that, you're sharing it. And that's a wonderful thing to do. It is not easy to share it because you sometimes are impressed by the appearances and you look at the ramshackleness or the poorness or the povertiness of a situation, and you say, you know. And like the little article we read one time somewhere, and the boy and his father went out to visit some poor people in the country. And the father wanted the son to see what poor people were like. And so when they came back, the father said, "Well, son, what did you think of this experience?" And the boy says, "Well, I sure learned a lot. I learned a lot about poverty." And the father said, "Oh, tell me what you learned." "Well, I learned that we have a swimming pool in our backyard, but they have a lake that goes on forever. We have running water, but they have a river. We have to pay people to come over and be company with us, like servants and stuff like that. They have friends who come over and eat with them and share with them and bring things to share. I realized, Dad, how poor we are." And you see, it was totally different from what the father expected. He expected the son to find the rural poverty, the rural limitedness there, but the son didn't see that. He saw the expansiveness of the outdoors. He saw the bigness of their barn and their yard, and he said, and their land goes to the horizon. Our land goes to the fence, and then our neighbors start, you know. Not that that's bad, but that's just our little bit. Now, when we can share with ourselves who that is. Now, if that boy would go back and tell his friends what he learned at their place, not necessarily in relation to his own, but just saying, "I have never seen abundance so beautifully expressed as here. Your lake is as big as, you know, all outdoors, and your land runs off to the horizon, and you have a river here, and you have friends coming in, and you know, all these things. You're so rich." And not comparing it to his own, but what would they think? At first they'd think, "Rich? Yeah. I mean, you got the nice car, you got this, you got that." Yeah, but you got these things that really count. You have the things that make life really worthwhile. Now, could we be objective and view circumstances like that? Could we look at our neighbors? Could we look at our friends? Could we look at the people that we meet every day in their various levels of abundance? And could we find in all of them love, joy, peace, perfect health? Yes, we can. Can you go to the hospital? That's a good one. Can you go to the hospital and find perfect health there? Your tendency is to take the appearances. You cannot go into that ward because that's a contagious ward. And if you believe it's contagious, you're going to be with them. If you go in that ward and you don't believe that it's contagious, you'll be untouched. It's not that you'll be immune. You'll be immune, it's true, because you will not receive it, but you will be untouched. You will not think that there is a contagion. Ingeborg, what would you see when you go into a ward of contagion? What would you see? Schnell.
Many people who don't like themselves.
And what would you see, Sylvia?
Wholeness and perfection.
And Ellen, what would you see?
Purity and perfection.
And what would you see, Ingeborg?
I can only see what I am.
Wholeness, purity, and perfection. That's exactly right. You can only see what you am. And this is what we have to remember. We can only see what we are. And so you go in that ward of contagion and so forth, and you see purity and perfection. And if you are really sincere, if you are really pure in yourself, you will see them that way, and they will all pick up their beds and go. They better leave the bed in the hospital. But they will all get up and get dressed and go home, whole and perfect. You see, a lot of people in hospitals want to get out. They want to go home because they know they're whole and perfect. And they know that in the hospital they're being treated as though they're sick. And so it's hard for them to conceive of themselves as being whole and perfect. You follow that? Mm-hmm. So if a hospital could treat a person as though they're whole and perfect. How are we doing today? My gosh, you're fantastic. You're looking glorious. You know, you're radiant. You're alive. You're beautiful. If they said that in the hospital, they wouldn't have the need for so many hospitals and so many big ones. And eventually none at all. But that's what our health depends on. It depends on our peace of mind. Now, do you have peace of mind? Do you have peace of mind about yourself? Do you have peace of mind about the people you meet and the people's circumstances you have? If you have peace of mind, you'll have perfect health. You'll have perfect health because there's nothing to distress you or disturb you. There's nothing to irritate you. There's nothing to cause you to be ill, to be unhappy. And when you can do that, wow, you got it made. You really got it made. And that's beautiful. Yes, our health depends on love, fulfillment, self-conviction, sharing, and peace of mind. And neither one is greater than the other. All are who we are. So you have a happy day now thinking of these wonderful things about yourself. Because I love you, I love you, I love you.